Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Tim Ellis, sitting in for Dan Bross. University of Alaska Fairbanks Chancellor Dan White announced Thursday that he's a finalist for the job of President of the University of Wyoming. He says he applied for the job because it's a good opportunity to move up to a higher level of administration with a university that, like UAF, conducts a lot of research.
They're similar to the University of Alaska Fairbanks in at the top of the what we call the Tier 2 research, which is a really great position to be.
White told reporters at a meeting in the Butrovich building on the UAF campus that he also applied for the job because he'd like to be closer to family members that live in the state next door.
I grew up in Colorado, in the mountains of Colorado, about 2 hours south of Laramie, which is where the University of Wyoming is, and family still in the Denver area.
White's been UAF's chancellor since 2017, and he served in several positions since he came here in 1995 as a professor of civil and environmental engineering. His other posts here include vice president for academic affairs and research and director of the Institute of Northern Engineering.
This is my 25th year, so it's a place that's, of course, near and dear to my heart.
If he's not selected, White says he'll be glad to continue as chancellor here at UAF. He says he wasn't conducting any sort of comprehensive job search when he learned of the opportunity in Wyoming.
You know, I get that question periodically. Are you looking for jobs and do you have other applications out? And I don't.
White says he was not motivated to look for another position elsewhere because of the university system's ongoing financial crunch. He says university leaders have done great work in setting up the statewide system to operate more efficiently with smaller budgets.
We've got a plan, and I think we are becoming, especially now, very well positioned for the future. We're going to be making some changes at UAF that help position us for the future.
White says he's traveling to Wyoming next week to meet with administrators, faculty, and students there. He says he expects a decision on who will be hired for the university president position in the first week of March. The state lawmaker representing Northwest Alaska and the North Slope says he will not run for re-election. John Lincoln is a political independent from Kotzebue, and he said in a Facebook post that he was honored to serve in the legislature, but, quote, "I'm at a stage in life as a husband and father of young children that makes it extremely important for me to be present and to provide for my family." Lincoln says he plans to return to work for Nana Regional Corporation after his term ends next January. Lincoln has served in the legislature since 2018 when he was appointed to replace Dean Westlake of Kiana. Lincoln was initially a Democrat, but he changed his affiliation to independent late last year. He serves in the bipartisan House majority and is co-chair of the House Resources Committee. Empty grocery shelves are becoming a common sight in coastal communities that rely on the Alaska Marine Highway system to stock food. As the shutdown in regional ferry service continues, private business owners are trying to keep up with the demand as desperate customers look for options. KTOO's Adeline Baxter has more.
Alina Elliott is a mother of two in Hoonah. She says stores there stocked up on groceries in anticipation of reduced ferry service. But after more than a month without a boat, most of those supplies have run out.
Now we walk into the store and their shelves are empty. There's no eggs, there's no milk, but they're doing their best to fly stuff over. But it's now comparison to the ferry.
Elliot says many people in her community are now relying on air transport for basic necessities, things like Instacart or packages from family and friends that live elsewhere. But shipping costs are expensive. And weather delays mean there's no guarantee for when those orders will arrive. Elliot's sister in Juneau recently sent her a head of lettuce and a gallon of milk. She says when the care package arrived, it felt like treasure. Even still, Elliot says it's hard not to feel abandoned by the state right now.
We have no support. It's getting rough. I have to ask people for help to where I didn't have to before, and it feels just degrading.
Communities like Angoon, Gustavus, Hoonah, and others that rely on ferries are desperately seeking options to get the things they need. Ward Air is one of the private charter services picking up the slack. In the company's hangar in Juneau, pilot Desmond Kiesel is keeping busy. He was scheduled to take off at 1 p.m. with a load of groceries destined for Hoonah, but the weather didn't cooperate.
We just have to be a little more patient this time of the year.
Business has been brisk for Ward Air and a few other flight operators in the region.
With the ferries down, we've definitely picked up service to the communities that we normally probably go to infrequently this time of the year.
This being Alaska, flight delays are common. and that's not ideal for perishables like produce and meat. Over in Gustavus, Toshua Parker owns a store called Toshco. When the ferries are running, that's how he regularly ships goods in from Costco in Juneau. But more than a year ago, he decided to invest in a boat of his own, a 96-foot landing craft.
So we were 100% ferry dependent and only did this as an insurance policy against the potential of what was going on with the ferries, which kind of ended up happening.
Now that the ferries aren't running, Parker makes the trip to Juneau pretty much every week to stock up. Even though he's found a workaround for the time being, he says the cost of operating a private vessel isn't sustainable, at least not without raising prices.
We would much rather just see the ferries running for everyone involved. It's the best way to go.
Last week, Juneau's native corporation, Gold Belt Inc., partnered with Huna Totem Corporation to transport a load of basketball players, tax accountants, groceries, and supplies to Huna on board one of Gold Belt's catamarans. Gold Belt's McHugh Pierre says regional corporations are looking for ways to work together like this to help communities weather ferry gaps.
We see this as a bridge. Obviously, we can't carry automobiles or motorcycles, but we can carry, 10,000 pounds of cargo at one time, and that's certainly a help.
Gold Belt also submitted an application to the Department of Transportation earlier this month to provide charter service to Angoon, Cake, and Huna. Those communities aren't slated to see a ferry until March. DOT has not yet said when charter service would start. In Juneau, I'm Madeline Baxter.
An organization that promotes the oil and gas, mining and timber industries in Alaska's schools is suing its former executive director, alleging she embezzled $187,000. Alaska Resource Education sued Michelle Brunner Wednesday in federal civil court. Brunner worked for the organization for a decade, ending in 2017, according to an Alaska Public Media report. Alaska Resource Education helps teach students about Alaska's natural resources and distributes curriculum to elementary through high schools. The organization offers modules with such titles as Fossil Fuel Hunt and Trees, a Renewable Resource. Its board of directors includes employees of some of Alaska's biggest players in the natural resource industry, including ConocoPhillips, Yosemite Coal Mine, and Hillcorp, along with Alaska Airlines and the Alaska Railroad. In a 29-page complaint, Alaska Resource Education alleges Brunner stole money through unauthorized payroll transactions and bonuses. It also says she used a company credit card for personal expenses and gave herself direct bank transfers while hiding some of the actions by describing them as payments to legitimate vendors. The lawsuit alleges Brunner falsified emails from the organization's employees and consultants to qualify for a mortgage for an Arizona home and to buy it. She also shredded documents and deleted her email account after leaving her job, though Alaska Resource Education hired a consultant that partially restored that data. Brunner did not immediately respond to a request for comment. For KUAC News, I'm Tim Ellis.